From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. Across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to the world's most listened to late-night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Open lines, first hour, next hour, Wayne Herschel with a book so controversial, it was denied being public for 3 years. Well, we've got it now, The Hidden Records. We've got some news of the day, and also, just to let you know, we're going to give it a shot this weekend. Art Bell should be on live from the Philippines. I'll tell you a little bit more about that at the end of the week, but you can count on it. More than 20,000 people along Florida's Gulf Coast were ordered to clear out Monday as Alberto, the first tropical storm of the 2006 Atlantic hurricane season, unexpectedly picked up steam and threatened to come ashore as a hurricane. Forecasters posted a hurricane warning for the Gulf Coast and a tropical storm warning from north of Daytona Beach to the Georgia-South Carolina line. Alberto, which could begin battering the Gulf Coast early Tuesday, was expected to cross through Florida and into Georgia. Welcome to the season, the hurricane season. Murders, robberies, aggravated assaults in the United States increased last year, spurring an overall rise in violent crime for the first time since 2001, according to data from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Murders rose to a rate of 4.8%, meaning that there were more than 16,900 victims in 2005 alone. Can you imagine this for a moment? In any country on this planet, if you heard that nearly 17,000 people were killed, like Iraq, for example, you'd think that we were in the middle of a major war here. 16,900 murder victims. That would be the most since 1998, the largest percentage increase in 15 years of violent country. In Nevada, a family court judge was shot and wounded as he stood near a third-floor courthouse window Monday, and police were looking for a man suspected in a slaying across town who had appeared before the judge in a divorce case. 53-year-old Chuck Weller was hit in the chest around midday by at least one shot that came through his office window at the Mills B. Lane Justice Center. He was taken by ambulance to a hospital where he is reported now in serious condition. Investigators say a fellow by the name of Darren Roy Mack, a suspect in the slaying reported later in the day at a Reno apartment building, was a person of great interest in the shooting at the courthouse. Very strange story that unfolded today and now has ended sadly. A nationally known aviation and space technology expert who had been missing for a week in the Los Angeles area has apparently been found now in his car that went over a mountain embankment near Malibu in Calabasas. This fellow was missing for a week. Nobody knew what happened to him. Michael Arthur Dronheim, he's 51 years old, was last seen leaving a restaurant on June 3rd. He is the West Coast editor of Aviation Week and Space Technology. He has appeared regularly on network television shows. Nobody knows exactly what happened in this case yet, so I will reserve judgment and comment. We don't know what stories he was working on at the time as well. In Florida, a small plane crashed into a house at the end of a runway in Tampa, killing the pilot and badly burning the co-pilot. The B-90 plane hit the house at about 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time near the Pedro O'Knight Airport, close to downtown Tampa. Two men were in the plane at the time of the crash. The pilot died at the scene, his co-pilot in critical condition at a Tampa General Hospital, serious injuries caused by the burning jet fuel. Al-Qaeda in Iraq has announced in a web statement posted on Monday that a militant named Abu Hamza al-Mahurja was appointed the group's new leader to succeed the slain Abu Musab Zawqari. The name was not immediately known. The name al-Mujahir, Arabic for immigrant, suggested he was not an Iraqi. You know, last week we were talking with Jerry Corso about immigration and about plans to make this all one North American alliance with Mexico and Canada and the United States, maybe one huge group. And I mentioned to Jerry at the time that this Dubai Ports World story really had like fallen off the face of the planet. Whatever happened to it? Well, Jerry has now posted a story on WorldNet Daily. He's done some checking. He agrees with what I was talking about. He says that the Dubai Ports World, the United Arab Emirates-owned company at the center of a national security controversy earlier this year, has not yet kept its promise to sell its operations in the United States to an American company. No announcements, according to Corsi, have been made by DP World identifying potential purchasers, and the company's spokesmen have no comment when pressed for details of any divestiture transactions that may be under consideration. It is sad that the media would have picked up on the story that we broke months ago. They ran with it for a few days. It was top news all around the country, and then, poof, it didn't exist anymore. Nothing's been done. Dubai Ports, they're controlling the leases of all those ports involved, and nobody's questioning it. George Soros, the billionaire who bankrolled MoveOn.org and Maurice Strong, who was a major backer of the United Nations and environmentalist causes, well, they're considering pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into a Chinese state automaker with plans to begin dumping cheap exports on the United States market next year. Get ready for this one. This could be a major story. The Chery is a knockoff of the South Korean Spark, sold in the United States in a partnership with General Motors. Well, GM has filed a lawsuit against the Chery automobile company for piracy of the car. They say they basically copied it. The Chery QQ sells in China for $3,600. It would sell for about $20,000 here in the United States. Is this, again, the one world government's plan to just control, control, control? On the heels of all that, Alex Jones, of course, was in Ottawa over the weekend at the Bilderberg Conference. He's putting together some information, and hopefully on Wednesday we'll have a complete program with Alex Jones and several others who were there trying to witness this incredible event of worldwide elitists planning everything that they want to plan for us. In Germany, a 440-pound German man discovered that being overweight can be good for your health if you get run over by a car. German police say the extra body mass prevented the 30-year-old man from suffering potentially fatal injuries when a Volkswagen Polo, that's a car, drove over him after he braked suddenly on his bicycle at a crossroads and fell right in front of the car. The man dislocated his hip, which local doctors put back in place, but otherwise suffered only scratches and a bloody nose. And they simply say because he was so overweight, it basically padded him. A 94-year-old declared dead suddenly sprang up and asked when Germany was next playing in the World Cup. When told that she had been declared dead by doctors, Maria Mueller replied, "Not likely, not until I see Germany win the World Cup." Now, she says there's still life in these old bones, and I certainly couldn't miss the football. Mrs. Mueller had been found slumped over in a chair by her son. Neither the son or a local doctor could find a pulse. They declared her as dead. Germany, by the way, beat Costa Rica 4-2 in that World Cup match. I'm going to open up the hotlines for you. For those of you in Florida, if you were around any of this rough weather by Alberto, if he's starting to make his way into your state, you can call us at this special line, 818-817-0021. Perhaps you're in your car. Perhaps you're part of the evacuation. That's 818-817-0021. The rest of you have got open lines. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is open at 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is ready to go at 818-501-4109. And welcome to Open Lines, this portion of the show on Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie, first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm fine. Who are you? Where are you?
I am in Toccoa, Georgia, actually.
Now, where exactly is Toccoa? Georgia?
Tocoa, it's northern Georgia. It's about on the North Carolina border. That's actually where I'm from, is Asheville, North Carolina. We're just down here visiting.
Ah, okay.
So last night, or I guess it was a couple nights ago, you were talking about, people were calling in about the little men that they'd seen.
The little people everywhere.
Yeah, little people. Yeah, well, I actually, it was a couple years ago. I was probably, I'd say 15 when I saw it. It was up in, my parents, they have an old farmhouse. That's where I grew up. And, like, I was up in the room, and, like, I was in the back room, and it was lit up, and then the front room was dark. And, like, I just happened to look up, and right there, stand there, was, like, a little man wearing, like, a purple cloak, and he was kind of hunched over.
How small was he?
I'd say he was about 3 feet tall. And, like, I looked up, and he was just, like, walking, and he walked over to a dark corner, and he just disappeared.
Just right into the wall.
Yeah, well, not even that he would disappear in the wall. He just kind of went where it was really dark, and I couldn't see him anymore.
Did he look at you?
I don't think so. He just kind of, he was just there pretty much.
So he didn't even try to scare you?
No, nothing like that. It was pretty quick. I just looked up, I was like, oh, my God.
Well, what kind of time period do you think he was from? Just with the outfit he was wearing? Future or past?
Probably past. If I had to guess, I would say.
All right, yeah, they're everywhere. Thanks for the call. Let's go to our Florida weather hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How's it going for you? That's the question.
Well, I'm sitting here driving in the rain. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. Oh, let me turn these windshield wipers off.
Well, no, don't turn them off.
It's kind of a little loud.
No, don't do that.
I'm driving real slow down this back road.
I mean, so I don't want to hear the sound of screeching tires.
No, we're just getting a lot of rain up here in Jacksonville. I think it's going to go to the north of us. I work at UPS at nighttime, and, we're still out working in it. So, I work out in the yard driving the truck.
But you are far away from where the 20,000-some people are evacuating.
Yeah. But, we're still getting a lot of rain and a lot of heavy winds and stuff like that, even as far away as that, Florida.
Well, you know what? 'Tis the season, isn't it?
Yeah, you got a great show, man. Appreciate it.
Okay, drive carefully. Turn those wipers back on. Okay, let's move now east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there. Hello.
Hi, George.
Hi, welcome.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just questioning about Zakawi, and what do you think about the journalist, about their questions that they asked?
You mean primarily about why it took so long to report that he was alive for almost an hour, things like that?
Right, things like that, and about other things, about autopsy, and, did you interrogate him? Did you torture him? Did you shoot him? All them.
Reporters are reporters. I mean, the guy somehow... He was almost like a Teflon human being. I mean, in the past, they had reported him dead, and he wasn't. I think they do got him. This time, he's dead. There's no doubt about it in my mind. The question is, though, it's all coming up that he was apparently alive an hour after the bombing, which to me means that he might have gotten a tip and was trying to get away. And, there was concussion. They said he had severe lung damage. It's a strange story, because if he had been in that building, I think he would have been obliterated, like those other people who were in there with him. It sounds to me that he was trying to get away before those bombs hit, and I don't think anybody's really brought that up yet. And then he got hit with a concussion of it, of course, and died of internal injuries. There was a witness that said troops were beating him up. Well, you know what? If they were... Who cares? The guy was a butcher. He beheaded people.
Well, I think justice was served.
Yep. I do. This guy was no Boy Scout.
Right.
And this planet is better off without him.
Right. And then also, we have our football star, our quarterback, was injured today.
Oh, that's what I heard. Motorcycle. From the Steelers. He wasn't wearing a helmet, was he?
Well, our lives changed. They don't have to wear a helmet.
Didn't Terry Bradshaw once told him, he said, you're going to ride that thing, ride it when you retire.
Right. And he said that in 2005, almost a year and maybe 2 months.
I know these sports franchises should be telling their key players, look, you're under contract, you're making a lot of money, these are the things that you can do while you're under contract. These are the things you can't do while you're under contract. And that's the way it is. And if you don't like it, you don't have to play for us. Foolish. 7-hour operation today, I'm told, in that situation. And, you know, he helped get them to the Super Bowl and onward. I don't know if he'll ever be the same. Who knows? Maybe he'll recover. Wild Card Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, George. This is Cliff from Houston.
Hi, Cliff.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Sure.
What do you think they're going to do with Cowie's body? I mean, are they going to give it back to them?
You know what?
Muslim burial,
they were,
or what?
They were talking about that today. They don't know what to do with it yet. I assume, technically, it should go back to his family, and they can do whatever they want to do with it.
Yeah, that would kind of be the ethical thing, but do they even know if he had...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he had family. He had a little girl, and he has a brother in Jordan. That's where he's from. Yeah, he's got family, they know where they are.
Okay, great. Thanks a million.
Okay.
Appreciate you taking my call. I
appreciate you being part of the program. Back to our Florida hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Sam. Deerfield, Florida, by Miami.
Oh, you're right in it then, Sam, aren't you?
Yeah, well, actually, there's not a drop of rain.
Not yet anyway, huh?
Yes. Anyway, so I wanted to, I've been trying to call you for a couple of months now about one of your theories you had about this government involvement maybe with the bin Ladens to, I don't know.
Well, not government. I've never said that. I think there's a higher order that is involved in anything like this that occurs. There
right.
are people out there that want to benefit. But, you know, I'm not part of the conspiracy theorists who believe our government did this as an inside job. I believe bin Laden had help from a lot of powerful people with money.
Right, and so do some other people. I'm a former military. I'm currently an international bodyguard. And I was over in 2001, late 2001, maybe early 2002, and I have some firsthand knowledge. I talked to some Arabs over there, and they were saying in 2002 or late 2001, December or January, that it was CIA. So I don't know.
CIA has run amok before.
Yep, and this was Arabic. I was dealing at the time with Arabics that didn't like us, you know. So, and they were saying this, oh, America this, America that. They did it to themselves. They're trying to frame us. So.
Well, I think bin Laden's part of it. I mean, he's clearly admitted that he was part of the group. I mean, he said a few months ago that he did not pick that Zacharias Moussaoui guy, that he picked the other 19, but that guy didn't have anything to do with it. So I didn't hear any denial. Now, some people, again, people who really, truly believe in the conspiracy, believe all those tapes have been doctored and that there is no bin Laden.
I disagree with that, but these guys, they were proud of it. I mean, they weren't denying that bin Laden didn't have anything to do with it, but they were also saying that a lot of it had to do with U.S. did most of it. U.S. did most of it. That's what I kept hearing. I don't speak very good Arabic, but I've just been wanting to call you to let you know that.
Okay,
so.
Thanks. Appreciate your call. You know, it is fascinating that bin Laden has yet to be charged with the crime of the 9/11. And I don't know why. You know, if he is indeed one of the culprits, the major culprit, and we are going after him, and we went after him in Afghanistan before he escaped, apparently, he has not been charged with that crime yet. And the FBI will admit that. It was a major story going all over the internet last week that there has yet to be any charges forthcoming against him. So how can you go and try to get him? Which is very interesting. Go search that. Next up, west of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, I'm Royal from Kettle Falls, Washington.
Hi, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm glad to hear from you, George.
Thank you.
Two tiny stories. One, I was driving across the desert in Nevada, my wife and I, about 20 years ago, and saw a family of dinosaurs cross the road in front of me.
A family of dinosaurs?
We both saw it, and they just walked across and then kind of just vanished after it got off the side of the road.
What kind of dinosaurs? How big were they?
Well, they were, two or three times taller than the car, except for the babies. It was like a mother dinosaur and a couple of smaller ones.
Oh, and you know, what did they look? You know what a Brontosaurus looks like, right? Or a Tyrannosaurus Rex? Did they look like that?
I don't know. I don't know one from the other. It was like a tall front end and... kind of sloped down to a long tail.
Oh, well, let me ask you, were they walking on 4 feet or two?
It looked like two.
All right.
But I couldn't see back.
Velociraptors.
Yeah, then one other story, short one. I live here in Kettle Falls up in the mountainous region. This is northeastern Washington.
Sure.
And I was taking a patient to the hospital. I picked her up at her house, driving her out of the woods, and I saw about a 12-foot hairy creature, very skinny, run up the side of the hill. And I don't know what I was looking at.
You know what you were looking at. It was Bigfoot.
It might have been. I know I skidded to a stop, but I didn't get out of the car.
All right. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We're going to continue with open lines this hour, and I'm going to keep the Florida hotline open, the Florida weather hotline, for those of you who are about ready to face Alberto. What a name, huh? 818-817-0021. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Yeah, I saw Walk the Line and the DVD with Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon, and they did a great job singing that song. Now, that's the original, with Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash. Just classics indeed. We have still a few more Double After Dark CDs, because I think they just ordered another batch of 500. They've got them. They, at least they tell me they do. Ready to give you. It's a complimentary copy, the Double After Dark CD, when you order an After Dark newsletter. Somebody had emailed me a couple days ago and said, where's my free After Dark newsletter? No, no, no. The After Dark newsletter is not free, but the double CD offer is for you. You just pay shipping and handling. It's our way of saying thank you. You can order the After Dark CD, After Dark newsletter, and get the free CD by calling 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. And back to open lines we go. Wild card line, welcome to the program. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, am I on?
You sure are. Go for it.
Hi, I just wanted to say a couple of things. First of all, I enjoy your show very much.
Yes, thank you.
And gives me something to look forward to, and many of my fellow comrades to listen to. I'm in the Marines, and I just wanted to make a couple comments, if I could. And I'll
sure.
Try to
and by the way, thank you for serving. I want to get that in there for you.
Well, I appreciate it very much, and if you have any questions, I might be limited on what I can say back, but let me start off by saying a couple of things. I love the Rush Limbaugh show and the Pat White and Glenn Beck and all the shows I listen to. I pretty much leave my station on 1190 Wobo all the time. I just got back from Iraq about a month ago, and I'll be heading back out in probably about another 3 weeks. A comment I wanted to make is I hear a lot of people connecting Iraq and 9/11. And I just kind of want to make it clear that Iraq and 9/11 had nothing to do with each other.
And I agree with you.
9/11 and Iraq have nothing to do with each other. And I hear that so much, and it irks so many of the troops. It irks so many people. It had nothing to do with it, you know. We gave Saddam a proposition, and he didn't abide by that, and we went in, and it has nothing to do with, you know, the World Trade Center's being bombed. Second of all, about everyone freaking out about Zarqawi's body, how it was handled, how he died. That's what makes the United States the United States. That's what makes us great. We go into hostile area or territory, and once it's under control, if there are any casualties, they're picked up in a humane way. That's how we do things. And I've heard so many callers, and I can't say that I may necessarily heard them on this show, but say, well, why didn't they just leave them there, or just dump them, or burn them, or do this and do that? And that we wouldn't be United States if we handled it that way. That's what makes us, you know, that's what separates us from everyone else.
And yeah, and as you know, for all the criticisms of some of the areas in Iraq with our troops, you know, our guys are humane. A lot of people don't understand. They've never faced battle. I haven't. But, you know, you guys are out there and you gals are out there fighting an enemy that you have no idea whether they're part of the regular population or not.
That's true, and that's another difficult aspect of it. And that brings up something else I was going to say, is you know, this is a real hot case about the men that fired on civilians, 23, and they're being investigated and this and that. We're not trained to just go berserk. We go into situations, we just panic and we just fire on anything that moves. That's not how we're trained. So I defend these soldiers that these accusations are going against. And the full story will come out. And I don't know the full story myself, but, the training I had, and I've been in gunfights and crossfire, and it's very controlled. Everyone's got a peace of mind. You're trained thoroughly. And it's no different when they asked, the Apollo 13 crew when they was going on and things started going terribly wrong. Well, did they freak out? Did they panic? No, they prepare for this stuff. They follow procedures.
A lot of people are trying to tie this into My Lai, the massacre in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And it's not that case.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, these, the guys that were involved, I can't speak for them, but we're trained so thoroughly to handle the most extreme circumstances that you can imagine. I just can't say enough about that. It really irks me when people buy into that because, it's just so untrue. It's just so untrue.
Let me ask you a couple questions, if you can answer them.
If I can answer it, I'll let you know without being rude. I apologize.
All right, no, I understand. Do we have a special ops team looking for Bin Laden?
Yes, we do.
How many men do you know?
I wouldn't know that.
Okay. Are they...
That's higher up the ladder than me.
Do you believe they'll be successful?
Yes, I do believe they will be successful. The problem is... he's very wealthy. He's very rich. He has a lot of money. That's a tough conversation to get into. And I don't know how long I have.
The fact that we are still looking for him is at least sobering. The other thing is the oil wells in the south and the north in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Who's controlling them? Do we have troops guarding them? Everybody has always said, not everybody, some, that we're there for merely the Iraqi oil. I mean, you guys are there fighting, but you see things, you hear things.
That's something that... I'm kind of limited on as far as how I can respond. Oil is being guarded. Saddam Hussein did set fire to a lot of oil. There are oil. I don't know how much I should say on this. There is some being guarded. I kind of just leave it at that.
Well, it is an asset now. I guess they need to protect
it. It definitely is. And with how oil... is in the world anyway,
sure.
Economy can be crushed with oil. If you stop oil supply, you can completely destroy an economy.
But it does it does belong to the Iraqi people, and I hope eventually we recognize that out there.
Yeah, and it does. It does. You're absolutely right. It does. And I think he knew he was going down, and why not burn the town? If you're going down, I'm taking everybody with me kind of attitude. I kind of feel, and we kind of feel that he had, I'm going to destroy and burn everything. And, I'm not going to leave anything behind for you, and not that we were even there for oil, we were there for several other reasons,
with oil being maybe part of it.
A small part of it.
You look at the package. I mean, you look at the okay, we can take out Saddam. We don't like him anymore. We do believe, some did, that there are weapons of mass destruction. And there's oil. I mean, you put it all together.
Right.
It makes, it gave them a strong reason to do what they did.
That's right.
You're there
That's
protecting right. it. So you're going back. Stay safe.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the time on the air. And I just want to let you know that myself and several troops listen to you nightly, and I just love hearing the random calls in and the people, and I love hearing the support. And I just kind of wanted to get that on the record that 9/11 and Iraq have nothing to do with each
other.
Two
different
things. And how he died, why didn't we dump his body here or there, or do this or that, or shoot him or this or that? I've heard everything you can imagine. And that's what separates us from everyone else. Nice. And that's what separates the class from the lower class. And the United States is about class, about ethics, about how we live our lives nobly. And the troops feel the same way. And, you know, there's someone on the ground. It's handled in a respectful way, and that's how we do it. Love them or hate them, we're gonna be humane about
all
it.
All we can say is hail, hail, the witch is dead, huh?
That's right. That's important. Right. I mean, I'm definitely glad we finally caught up with him, and that's gonna take a definite blow to it. I hear so many critics saying, well, there's gonna be 20 more to go in his footsteps. Well. You know, the morale has broke, and we hit one of the big times.
Well,
you know?
That's why I think on their websites they're putting out phony names of other people now. They don't want mm-hmm. the real names. Got to run. Semper Fi, soldier.
Thank you.
Okay, appreciate you being on the program. Florida Hotline, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Robert in Tampa.
Hi, Robert. Getting ready to fight the fight out there?
Yeah, it's been wild already. A lot of gusty winds, a lot of rain. Right now, we're in between squall lines. We expect another one in here shortly.
How close are you to where that plane hit that house? Did you hear about that story?
Yes, I did. Maybe 10 miles as crow flies.
Yeah, it's 10 miles too close, I guess.
But that's as I understand it, they had an emergency before they got to the airport. Don't know the whole story there. Have been out and about. There's a lot of street flooding. It's trash day in my neighborhood, and the trash cans are everywhere.
They're gone. Oh, what a mess. What a mess. Are you ready for this year again? Do you think it's going to be as bad as last year?
I certainly hope not. I tell you, these things get old in a hurry.
Yeah, they sure do. And I hear insurance companies are starting to pull out in some of these areas. They're not doing earthquake insurance on the West Coast. And a lot of them are deciding to back out of hurricane and weather-related type insurance like that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. In as much as I'm against heavy-handed government, I wouldn't mind them doing something about it.
Let me tell you, board up those windows and stay safe and dry. First time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Jeannie in Chicago.
Hello, Jeannie.
I'm glad to be on your show. I love it. I work midnights. I'm a police officer in one of the suburbs, and you keep me going at night.
Well, thank you so much. What's on your mind, Officer Jeannie?
Well, I'm hearing a lot of people seeing little people and shadow people, and last week my daughter said she saw a dog.
She saw a dog shadow?
Yeah.
I've seen one of those, too.
Oh, okay. She said she woke up. So a lot of times when I'm working, the kids will bring their sleeping bags, and they'll go in and sleep on the floor with my husband. And she woke up in the middle of the night, and the dog was next to her. And she reached up and petted it, and she said she felt its fur, and it was wearing a muzzle. And it had like a white sheet over its back and its tail, and it was wagging its tail. So, of course, she started yelling and turned the light on, and then it disappeared. And she said when they turned the light off again, it came back and it was on the other side of her.
And this was in your house?
In my house, yes, in the master bedroom.
Do you know if a dog died there ever?
It could have been on the land. The land was just developed. We had the house built, and it was farmland.
That's a good point, because I was in a townhouse years ago in St. Louis, and I believe a dog had died in the basement, and I had seen that thing running around as a shadow dog. And, you know, I thought for a moment, all right, kid, you're going nuts here. I went inside this area of the basement where the shadow dog was, and I closed the door. Behind the door were incredible dog scratches, as if they kept that dog there, and when it was alive, it was scratching the door trying to get out. And I saw the shadow dog. It's weird.
Oh, that is. I wonder if it was buried in the ground and how it would have, you know. It made it to the second floor to get to her specifically, because my husband and my son were both also in the room, but it went to her.
Well, thank God the muzzle was still on it, huh?
Yeah, she said it seemed friendly, and then I said, what color were its eyes? And she said they were brown.
Better than red, Jeannie. Yeah, all right, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
If I get to Chicago, that means there's a ticket there I won't get. I try to remember all these things. Wild Card Line, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. Carlos from Carson, California.
Hi.
Hi, George. Listen, we've been lied to for so much for so long that I question everything.
Well, you know what? I don't blame you. I don't blame you. What do you think we've been lied to, though? What's got you questioning this time?
Well, I mean, Zarqawi death, is he really dead?
Yeah, I think he's dead.
He had connections with the CIA, so did Osama bin Laden, so did Saddam Hussein.
Everybody did.
Reports that claimed by a military officer in Baghdad that he claimed he saw Saddam Hussein being picked up and his family by a C-130 aircraft.
So who's this guy we see in this courtroom?
Probably an imposter.
What if maybe the imposter got picked up?
Yes, he was so docile when they were questioning him. And that's not the profile of an egotistical man, to be so docile when they're questioning him and going through his hair. I mean, that body language is wrong. There's something wrong with that.
Now, let me ask you, though, Carlos, do you really think Saddam Hussein is gone off somewhere on some well-to-do island with his family?
Yes, I do. So Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, Zarqawi, De Ayatollah Khomeini, all of them were CIA creations sponsored by our government, by the financial mafia of the world, to use as agents to give us the pretext to go to the Middle East and start taking over the Middle East, privatizing all their assets, and eventually to engender so much conflict where we will be involved militarily, not only in the Middle East, but in Africa and Latin America. Remember, Latin America is forming a coalition with all the leftist countries.
Yes.
Agreed to join forces with Iran. And the moment we hit Iran, well, guess what? Down the stretch, we're probably going to be lured into a fight with Latin America. All the objective of all this is to decimate us militarily in conjunction with all the social conflicts that will be developing at home through illegal immigration, our collapsing economy. All these things simultaneously down a few years from now will collapse the big giant.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to tell you, I believe everything you've said is absolutely correct, except that I do think bin Laden's still being searched for, and I think Saddam is in jail and Zarqawi is dead. But I believe all these other things you said. I think absolutely, Carlos, these things are happening. Let me take a few more calls before we have to say that's it for this hour. Before we go live to Wayne Herschel, let's go to our Florida weather hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing today, George?
Wonderful. You staying dry?
Yeah, believe it or not, we got pretty good soaking over there out of Brandon, Florida, which is just about maybe 15, 18 miles away from where that plane crashed out there. Over there by the hospital.
Well, you guys can handle a little soaking, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it's good for the ground, right?
Yeah, as long as that's it.
Yeah, they got plenty of room for it. But we had a lot of rain out there this morning, and the wife and I were just getting ready to leave about an hour ago out of the Brandon area.
You mean to evacuate?
No. We drive tractor trailer.
Oh, okay.
And we're on our way out to Orlando. Once we pretty much got over by Plant City there, it cleared up and just had wind. No rain per se. And now we're in Orlando picking up an empty trailer, but I got to go back to Tampa.
All right. Well, you drive carefully because you might be going right back into it. Let's pick it up east of the Rockies. I've got a minute for you. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Norris.
Hi.
I was wanting to talk about shadow people.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine who you had a caller call in maybe a week or so ago about a man dressed in a tall black hat. He saw in a dream dressed in a tall black hat,
right.
Long coat, real
yes.
Thin. I have a friend of mine named Nick. He he believes it's the same dream, but I don't think he's dreaming. Same outfit. He doesn't watch the show. I don't tell him anything, but he says same outfit, long black hat, white hair, real thin, and his nickname is Spike. Only his friends call him Spike. And this man was standing at the foot of his bed, and he said, Spike, I am coming for you.
Man, and he described it to a T, just like that other guy did.
Yes. It it freaked me out. I had him draw, he's good with a pencil, and I had him draw a picture of it, and it's exactly as this man described.
Can you send us that picture?
If
you have that capability, just send it to George at coasttocoastam.com. I'll get it up to Lex, and if he likes it, we'll post it. I'd like to see a drawing of a shadow person described by somebody. This one named Spike. We'll be back in a moment. Wayne Herschel, our guest. His book, The Hidden Records. We had difficulty getting it published for 3 years because people were afraid of his message. I'll be back.